Advent is a tradition in the Christian church of anticipation and getting ready for and preparing for Christmas and the coming of Christ. And it's not just a moment in, it's not just remembering the birth of Jesus as an event in history. It's actually an event in our lives, of the coming of Christ in our lives every day. And so the season of Advent, I think, is really important. And it's something that every year I want to, you know, start on in time. Like half the time it's like 5 minutes after Thanksgiving, all of a sudden it's Advent, time to do Christmas. And so a lot of times I miss it and I'm 2 weeks into it and Olivia's all, we forgot to do Advent last week. And I get caught up in the busyness and the stress. And I don't know if anyone else here can identify with that at Christmas time. And so this year I'd like to be really intentional in my life. And we are, as a community, challenging ourselves to be really intentional about that commitment, because it takes an intentionality to say, Christmas really is and can be something more than that stress and that busyness. And so we're gonna have the Advent candles every week, and then I'll also share a little devotional about Advent. And this morning, we're gonna read each of the scriptures that Christian churches around the world have for many, many, many decades. Had a certain readings that they all read on Advent weeks. And so I'm going to ask my kids to come up and read each of these. There's one from the Old Testament, one from the Gospels, and one from Paul's letters.
Okay, this is Isaiah 2, verses 3-4. Come. Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord.
But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and exhausted in taking care of all your day-to-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when we first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, in sleeping around and dissipation, in bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter and linger waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourself in Christ and be up and about.
Matthew 24, verse 42. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming.
The message is, come, Lord Jesus. It's kind of a mantra for Advent. Come, Lord Jesus. It's something to remember all season. Come, Lord Jesus. And we all want Christmas to be a lot of things. We want it to be full of joy and memories and happiness. And above all, we want it to be about Jesus. We don't want it to be about stress or about debt. Or we don't want to feel like we missed that moment. So I'm going to show a little video by this group called the Advent Conspiracy. And it's a movement that started in just a couple churches, and now there's thousands of churches actually around the world that are participating in it. And it's basically a movement designed to help us all slow down and experience a Christmas worth remembering, and even a Christmas that marks some kind of transformation in your life and in our world. And to do this, we need to be intentional. We need to do things a little bit differently and be a little bit more creative. And it basically, it all boils down to love. It all boils down to loving God and to loving your neighbors in need, loving your family, loving those who aren't your family, who are you don't know. By spending just a little bit less money on gifts and just a little bit less time on shopping and just a little bit more time with other people and just a little bit more money on those really in need. So, Jared, you want to play this little video and then we'll light the candles. God is entering our world in a new way. God is entering our lives in a new way. God will be with us in a new way. We light this first candle with the hopeful expectation that God is doing something new. Open your eyes to see the sign of God in your life now. Amen.
People who have never played an instrument? No, poor people, right? Poor people who have never played an instrument and have horrible rhythm to come up for a second. Now, Rob, I saw you. There you go. Pete, I believe I saw you too. Christine, I know you're horrible in your rhythm. Actually, this whole church is pretty bad. It's not like that's a real hard thing. I need somebody to bang on the keys for me. Oh, you know what? Little kids are great. Nona, come up.
You got no rhythm? All right. Then you're on the drums. Show her how to sit on the drums. And this is going to be fun. This is going to be really good. Now, I don't have earplugs for you, but just hang in there. Now, on the count of three, I want you all to play very aggressively and just play the best you know how. Just play. On three. One, two, three, go. All right, that's good. You know what? I'm going to tell you, I got to be honest with you. I thought it was going to be a lot worse. That wasn't half bad, actually. I'm a little shocked. That was pretty good. You guys can now hand your instruments back to the musicians. And I give them a hand. Thank you, Nona. Thank you, Christine, Pete. I like the sunglasses. I hope you got a picture of that, Mia. Because that'll be the last time you ever see that. That was good, Rob. Thank you. Now, just give it a little something going here. Yes. All right, guys. Thank you. You're done. Now, is it funny? Because like a lot of times I will be speaking with people after church, and if you don't know it, we are a very kid-friendly church. All right. The last thing I want to be an impression to be upon one of the children here that church is a place where you get into trouble for being a kid. Whether it's climbing on the stage or running around. And I know for a lot of people, it's very like, oh, this is, you know, but there's always a method to the madness, because too many people I know grew up in churches as kids where they were drugged to or whatever and were told to sit down, shut up, don't move, don't do this, don't do that, don't run, don't, you know, and their impression of God is one who's just always ready to get pissed off at you for doing something wrong. So we don't want that here. So we allow that. But occasionally, I'm after service, and kids will be on the stage, and they'll get on the drums, and they'll get on the piano. And I want to kill them. I'll be honest with you. Because they're so horrible. They're just making awful noise. It's like scratching, you know. And then you realize, what's the difference between noise and music? It has to do with a very purposeful interruption and pause at the right time. That's why, like, with people with no rhythm, they're just, you know, but if you, rhythm comes from organizing sound and pauses. Playing different notes with a pause and in the right place. There's an order that comes from that. That's sound. There's pauses. There's syncopation. There's beat. And this is what makes noise into something that is more than just palatable, something that's very beautiful and that we want to listen to instead of noise. What about time? Time is a very interesting thing, isn't it? In the very beginning, we have this beautiful poem in the book of Genesis. A poem about God's creation. About a God who speaks into a void, order, and creation. And, you know, it's so funny because in evangelical churches, they all get fired up about, you know, was it 6 24-hour periods and the earth is 6,000 years old and you got to believe this, when in fact, the whole poem has nothing to do with science or with age or time or place. It has everything to do with rhythm. Okay? The whole purpose is God's order and rhythm to creating things. In fact, he says, oh, this is kind of funny, because it's already, the fourth day, but he hasn't made the sun yet.
Well, what that means is that there was a great,
no. And God says in Genesis 1:14, he says, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light to the earth. And it was so, and God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. That's the sun and the moon. And he also made the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the sky to give them light to the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. So God gives this order. And he even says he gives a rhythm with light and dark. He gives a rhythm to the day and to the what? To the seasons. Modim in the Hebrew means he set appointed times. Now the zenith of this creation order is the seventh day. When he saw all that he had made, it was good, very good. And there was evening and morning the sixth day. And thus the heavens and the earth were completed in their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This becomes known as the Shabbat, the Sabbath, the day of rest. A 6-in-1 rhythm. It becomes so important and ingrained that you find in the book of Leviticus that God speaks to the Israelites and ingrains in him this day called the Sabbath. It's even one of the big 10 commandments, right? You shall keep the Sabbath and keep it holy. Keep it sacred, separate, and apart. And you will do no work on it. In Leviticus 23, he says, verse 3, there are 6 days when you may work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a day of sacred assembly. You are not to do any work wherever you live. It is the Shabbat to the Lord, Sabbath to the Lord, day of rest. It's an interruption. Now, if for us who are enjoying weekends, if you have to thank somebody for the weekend and the invention of the weekend, you may thank the Jew and their Bible, the Torah. You may thank God who instructs us to keep the Sabbath. Because this may be something we take for granted, but in the ancient world, particularly if you were average, which was the 99% as opposed to the one that were super wealthy, you worked all the time. There was no concept in the ancient world of a day off, okay? Now, why do we get a weekend? Well, that has to do a lot with anti-Semitism. That has to do a lot with what, like Brady was talking about last week, with a guy named Constantine, and empire and Rome, who didn't like Jews and didn't like the fact that Jews and Jewish Christians and Christians who were following the Jewish God were worshiping on Shabbat, which is actually Saturday. And when he Christianized his empire, he shifted it to the day of the sun. Sunday became the day of worship. And that caused a split and a divide, and it has been to this day. So today, we come and gather on Sunday incorrectly. I'll be honest with you. That's what's really funny to me, is that like people get so geared up about about the poem of creation and how literal it is, and it's 6 24-hour days, and it's 6,000-year-old earth, and if you don't believe that, you don't believe the Word, and you don't believe God, and you're going to hell because you're not a believer, and you don't believe the Scriptures, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, but do you keep the Sabbath? Because that's what the whole thing's about. And Christians, generally, widespread, not today. Although there are some Seventh-day Adventists. But, okay, so that's something I want us to consider. Rhythm. And God sets rhythm. As a matter of fact, if you look, He sets in place times to stop and to consider. If you go back to Leviticus, it's really kind of funny because it goes on to institute 11 other holidays, what we would call, outside of the Sabbath. He talks in Leviticus 23 about the Shabbat, about the Pesach, the Passover, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the First Fruits Feast, the Feast of the Weeks, the Feast of the Trumpets, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of the Tabernacles. We have no less than 12 times that God is setting apart holidays in the religious calendar of the Jews. Times to remember things. Times to remember giving thanks for the crop. Times to remember to celebrate the harvest and coming together, to remember our time and our journey in the desert, to come together and remember the Passover and our release from Exodus, our exodus from Egypt. These things in He sets appointed time. Rhythm. Rhythm, 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 rhythm. There's, to me, a correlation between music and calendars. And what can happen in our life is that we can get so out of rhythm that our life is just one continuous buzz of noise. It's just clang, clang, it's just the ongoing out of syncopation, non-rhythmic banging of busyness. I mean, I know this can consume us, and I know it's not a guilt trip. This is the world we live in. Man, the world we live in has changed radically. We are freakish in what we have to absorb. Helen, you're 92. When you met Abraham Lincoln, I say that as a joke, but Helen's sweet, she's sharp as a tack, 92, and I love talking to her. I think about what she's seen in her 92 years. We just recently celebrated Gettysburg's 150th anniversary. Gettysburg, 150 years ago, there were veterans of Gettysburg walking around when Helen was a child. It was our nation where we still were enslaving millions of black people. We were shooting musket balls at each other. Our nation was ripped apart. There was no automobile. There was no web. There was no telephones. There was not the jet age of where we sit in a comfortable chair at 30,000 feet going 600 miles an hour with a movie screen in front of us. The world has changed radically. Radically. Just think about the evolution of the phone. I mean, I'm in it. And I think of how the world has evolved time-wise. In many places in the world still today, you got two times. Day and night. Hey, I've preached in the third world. And in the third world, they don't have something that we depend upon. It's called the watch. They don't have that. Because not only did God give us like a sunrise and sunset, 6 days and a day off, or a lunar calendar of a month, or four seasons that comprise a year, we chop it down into 24 little segments. And then we chop those 24 little segments down to 60 little smaller segments. And we even take those 60 segments and then we break them down to 60 more. And now we take those and we go on and on and on. And, this, like the phone, can be radically, radically addictive. Radically addictive. And sometimes you just got to say, that's it, that's enough. And you just got to take out the hammer and sit. Now, it wasn't my phone. I can't do that to the phone. I need the phone. I'm serious. We got to kill it. Because we start spinning and we go crazy. Our life becomes one big constant noise. And that's normal. You're not weird. You're not unspiritual. You're not weak. God's not mad at you. He's not like surprised that we get going in our grinds. Trust me. He knows. I know. We understand. Again, it's not just this big angry God who's looking at you so disappointed. No, no. He's just trying to say, take time out. Include me in this thing. Okay? That you're doing. Include me in this thing, because what I can do is I can help bring you some rhythm to your life. And you need rhythm. You want your life, you want your time to be in sync. Hey, Jared, I don't know if that video is going to work. Probably not, right? Do we have sound? That might be different because it's video. And we'll give it a shot. If not, we'll be okay. This means we'll get out of church earlier. Now we must not have it dialed in too. Yes. No. Wait, hold on 1 second. I got it. No, it's not going to work. That's too bad. All right. Well, it was a cool little video, and it was just speaking on rhythm. And what we do at Advent, what we do right now, on this first of 25 days, what I'm inviting you to do is what Jesus is inviting himself, us to do. And that's to come to him. And to come to him and give, and let him give us rest. Come to him and begin to get into rhythm. So for thousands or, hundreds of years, centuries, Christians have had these seasons. And one of these seasons is this right here. That's right, Mac. Don't worry about it. The season right here of Advent. It's a time to stop. It's a time to take into consideration. It's a time to fall into rhythm. And what I'm saying is right now, today's the 1st of December, we can do that together as a community. We can make a commitment in my own heart and in your own heart and say, you know what? It's December 1, because it picks up, man, right? It's so different when you think about, like, Thanksgiving. We did Thanksgiving, right? And the whole theme, even around our table and just even in the church, was like, we're just so thankful for things that we have. And it's so funny in our culture. What follows Thanksgiving? Black Friday, which is this mass of humanity running out to get things, right? Isn't that funny? I mean, it's kind of like, you got to be kidding me. Like, this is like in-our-face joke right now that the biggest shopping... I'm not against big sales and shopping days. I'm not against that. I think that's fine. It's great. All I'm saying is, it's funny to me on a day where we're supposed to actually just sit and contemplate how blessed I have or what really matters in my life. It's not material things, but family, friends, God, thankfulness. Right on the heels of that, we jump into the mass. And it just gets earlier and earlier. Now it's midnight. You know, I remember in the old days, it was like in the morning. Somebody said, like, hey, it opens at 8. And then it was like, somebody said, well, let's open ours at 7. It opens at 6. I'll do ours at 5, 4, 3, 2, hey, midnight. Now they even have Black Friday. All right, hey, it's going to work. Back her up. Black Friday starts now 8 o'clock on Thursday. 6 o'clock on Thursday, right? It's getting earlier and earlier. Pretty soon, it's going to be eat the Thanksgiving meal and take off and go shopping. You know, and get a bunch of crap we don't really need, but it's on sale, so we think we need it. It's just so funny. That's the way it works. So, and that can just get you right out of the rhythm. You're trying to get in the rhythm, and you get out of it. This is going to be the challenge for the next 25 days for us. This is a beautiful season. It's a season of hope. And Jesus came into a world that was desperately in need of hope. He came to a people who were so subjected and brutalized and tortured. They were crying out to God continually. It's the Jewish story, but it's mankind's story. This is the holidays, the holy days. We just had Hanukkah. And I hope you know the Hanukkah story because it really sets the backdrop of the Christmas story. I mean, Hanukkah was a revolution. It was a time of deep oppression by the Jewish people, by the Syrians. And there was a particular Syrian emperor, Antiochus Epiphanes IV, who came in and tried to eradicate the Jewish religion and their monotheism and their practices and their holidays and their observances. And he outlawed circumcision. He outlawed owning the Bible, what they call the Torah, what we call the Old Testament. They outlawed any of their meetings, gatherings, going to church, as we call it, or going to the temple. In fact, they went to the temple, and Antiochus Epiphanes destroyed the interior of the temple and set up a statue of Zeus. And then he demanded that the Jewish people come in and sacrifice pigs. And you know how Jews feel about pigs. To Zeus. And it was one priest, Matatyahu, Matthias, who went into a revolution. He went in there to sacrifice his pig, and he said enough. Instead of sticking the pig, he stuck the attendant of the Syrian government. And he led his 5 sons into the hills, and they had a guerrilla war, and they did the unthinkable. They actually beat back the Syrians and took back Jerusalem and their land. And then they consecrated the temple, and then they lit the menorah, and then they celebrated for 8 days. It became a high holy day, Hanukkah. 600 years later, in the Talmud, it became a story with a wonderful miracle that took place. And the miracle is they only had enough oil for one night, but it burned for 8 nights until more kosher consecrated oil could be made. And that's why you have the 8 candles today on the menorah. But these were people that were beaten down. And then on the heels of that, Rome stepped in. Okay? And then, and the boot was on their neck again. They were crying out. And the world is crying out for hope today. And Jesus enters into this scene. He interrupts. And he begins to bring back a vision for the world. A better way to live. He rescues us. He saves us. He is our Savior. He saves us from the insanity of our own ways and sins and the world's ways. And He gets us out of that madness, and He tries to set us back and he teaches us how to be human again. It's a beautiful thing. And that's what we want to do in these 25 days. We want to anticipate, hope, and remember what this season means, the teachings of Jesus, this entering into the world, the Son of God, Savior, the Rescuer, who's coming, as his name means, to save us from our own craziness and sin. We want to get back to rhythm. Let's play that. This is simply called Rhythm. This is a short video. It's a Rob Bell one. I think you'll enjoy it if we've got the volume working. So, what I want to invite you to do, we're going to take communion next week because it's the way we roll here. We can do what fits and not be blown away at that. Point of communion and the point of our gathering here is to get aligned, reoriented, to get an alignment for our thinking, our mind, our heart, and our spirit. And I think that's already happened. And I'm very excited to begin the Advent season with all of my brothers and sisters that are here. I'm very excited with you to starting today to get my mind wrapped around the beauty and the grace and the love of the season and what it really means. And I'm inviting you to join me in the challenge that we're going to have as soon as we walk out here and we get into the world and we get back to Monday and it's work and things get going. And I know that. And pretty soon, you know, the whole day is just rattling off like a machine gun, but that we would still have these moments of deep and profound awareness. And that we enter into this 25-day stretch and we come to God and we bring whatever that's, if there's something icy in our life, in our heart, in our spirit, we ask God to begin to melt this. Begin to melt this thing. If there's something open and a wound that is just bleeding and pouring forth pain, we say, God, okay, right now I'm gonna listen for the rhythm. I'm gonna listen to the music and I'm gonna try to get in rhythm with it and I'm gonna let you start to heal. I'm bringing this thing to you because this is a season of love, hope, of joy, and peace. We enter into that together. In a crazy world, Jesus has entered into it to make us human again. Yeah, in the midst of it. And we're going to be listening to that. We're going to stay in rhythm. We're going to light a candle every week right to Christmas Eve. We're going to do that together wherever you're at on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. It doesn't matter, but we'll be together in spirit, heart, and mind. And we will really rejoice for the reason of the season, the hope of Jesus bursting forth, bringing light into a dark world. Right? So let me just pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. God, we come together as a community, as faith. We come before you on this day, December 1st, God, and we're asking for your grace and help to keep you in tune with our lives, God, that we would listen to the music and that we would get in rhythm with you, God. We thank you for this day. We thank you for Sundays. We thank you for a day of rest. We thank you for the interruption that you demand of us for our own good in our schedule, God. It's not a harsh demand. It's a time that you want us to come back and stay in tune. So we're thankful for these moments of community coming together in worship. But we want that every day, God. Every day. We want this season to be a time of love, grace, compassion, hope, healing in our hearts and also, God, in others. And you may choose to use us as that instrument, God. We may have a great burden or pain that we're bringing to you, God. But we want you to make us awake and aware of the other burdens and pain around us. And Father, to be instruments in your hands of healing and bringing grace to others. And we may find that it is the very grace that we need ourselves, the very healing that we need ourselves. Thank you for this time, God. Thank you for this community of faith. Love you in Jesus' name. Amen. May the grace and the peace and the joy of the Lord Jesus be with you.